And on the line, we've got Susie Russell. She's part of Save Bulga National Forest, State Forest, it's called. G'day, Susie. How are you?
G'day, Annie. I'm well, thank you.
Yeah. Just to put people into perspective, it's on Birrumbik land, but it's in Western parlance, it's near Port Macquarie, and it's very serious, isn't it, in relation to the stabilisation of and health of the forests and the welfare of native animals in New South Wales, this particular forest system?
Well, I think it's pretty much a case of all of the forests up the east coast. But can I just interrupt you, Annie, and say that I've got a really bad echo. I don't know if you can do anything about that.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't, unless I put another ad on and I'll ring you back.
All right. Well, that would be great, because all I can do is hear myself.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I'll put you off and we'll start again.
All right.
Would you like to reduce your risk of dementia? The Better Brains trial aims to discover whether targeted lifestyle changes can prevent memory decline in Australian adults. Participants aged 40 to 70 with a family history of dementia are allocated to receive health coaching from an allied health professional or health education materials about dementia and its risk factors. The trial is run entirely online, so visit www.betterbrains.org.au to sign up now. Better Brains is a 3CR supporter.
And we're back again on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're talking to Susie Russell. Now, I was looking up all the stuff that's been going on at the Bulga State Forest, Save Bulga State Forest. You people have been working very hard to save this particular part of New South Wales from what is the largest native forest sawmill in New South Wales.
Yeah, that's right. We have kicked off our campaign before Christmas when they started logging in this area of Bulga Forest just down the road from where I live. And it's the campaign has, I suppose it's multiplied because it's not just us. I mean, there are communities up and down the coast who are really, really concerned about what is happening in these forests. I mean, they're publicly owned forests. That's what a state forest is. And yet they're being logged at a loss. So the logging is subsidised by the state government. And what they're doing is they're sort of taking out, obviously, they're taking out pretty much all the biggest trees and leaving these tiny saplings behind. So they can say they're not clear felling because they leave something behind. And they what the logging is doing is it's taking away not just the habitat of so many species that are just unique, but they're taking away any chance that there will be habitat for those animals for the next 150 years because, like the leadbeater's possum down your way and the greater glider, they depend on tree hollows, which take, take a tree 150 years to form a hollow. Can be 220 years before there's a hollow big enough for one of the large forest owls. So by taking away the largest trees and just leaving little trees that have got sort of a couple of hundred years to go, it's like they're just sort of converting it into an ecological desert.
Yeah. It's interesting because the concerned citizens that you're talking about who are now taking direct action include quotes from ex-councillors who have been, in service for 24 years who are prepared to raise their voices against this destruction.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we have had, this opposition to this logging is widespread across the community. There have been community attitude surveys done that show that around 70% of the population in general, in the city and in the rural areas, is against native forest logging. And that those surveys were done 5 or 6 years ago. I think that percentage would be even higher now. People are starting to realise that trees are the best carbon capture storage method that we have, that is known. I mean, billions has been spent on trying to, you know, get some huge factory that's going to suck carbon out of the atmosphere, but nothing works as well as trees. And so there's this growing awareness of just how important forests are. Forests are just so important for providing our water. You know, they're like a standing water reservoir that just sort of holds the water in the ground and slowly releases it. At least that's what old trees do. Young trees are water thirsty and they suck up all the water and there's hardly any water to flow downstream. So it's like where the logging is sort of taking away our water security. I mean, all the communities up the east coast of Australia, we all depend on forested catchments for our water. And yet this water supply is being diminished by what's happening in the forest. So it's sheer madness, and it's partly because in New South Wales we have a coalition between the Liberals and the National Party in government, and the National Party have control of all the rural areas and they have control of all the rural seats, and the National Party do deals and hand out contracts and sort of licences for, you know, they do it for the wood from the forest, they do it for the water, they do it for the mines. Basically, they just are sort of full on into exploitation of nature. They have no value, they give nature no value at all. And so we're seeing this destruction of nature happening right across New South Wales. There's a war on nature going on.
Yeah, and you point out that neither major party has a policy to halt the decline in the health of the forests and the dwindling wildlife.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's incredibly disappointing that the Labor Party, like I said, we don't expect anything from the Nats. The Libs are beholden to the Nats, so we don't expect anything from them either. But the Labor Party is obviously in a position to be able to take action. They may form a government in New South Wales after the election we have here next week. And so it's a great opportunity. And it's one of the reasons why our campaign has become so intense, because we are leading up to an election. But so far, the Labor Party has not been prepared to say that it's going to do anything to end native forest logging. They have said that they will assess an area near Coffs Harbour for what's called the Great Koala National Park. And that will be, if that happens, and if it happens on the scale that's been proposed, that will be a really important area protected, and it will be great for the people who are in that region and great for the koalas that are in that region, but it will be an island of protection and for the rest of us that are not on that island. There's a lot of logging that is scheduled for the forests in our region.
I feel like saying, when you said that, without belittling it, I was saying that's very good of them, isn't it? To, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is a significant, like I say, we yet to see. They haven't said what the boundaries are going to be, and depending on what the boundaries are, it actually, you know, could be really significant. So, I mean, it is an important step, and we're really pleased that that has been committed to. But the Labor Party have committed to it for the last two elections, previously with lines on a map, and this time there's no lines, so people are a bit concerned about whether or not it's going to be as big as was previously proposed. That's what the worry is.
Yes.
But like I say, I mean, there are so many significant areas of forest, like the area of Bulga Forest that we've been trying to protect. Two days ago, we had a walk-in to a forest that's been closed, because here the forests get closed for logging and people are, you know, prohibited from entering. Certainly protesters are prohibited from entering. It seems a lot of people can drive through and do whatever, but not us. The police get called. But anyway, we walked in. There were about 30, 40 people walked into a forest here called Yarrat, which is near Taree. And, you know, that's such a sad case, because it was the only patch of flatland forest in the Manning Valley, which didn't burn in 2019.
Yep.
And it's recognised as being high-quality koala habitat. And there was even a government report that recommended that no logging happen in there for 3 years after the fires. Well, within about a year after the fires, the Forestry Corporation were in there logging. The logging has just been going on now for, a year and a half. And the koala habitat is disappearing, as logging trucks leave the area. So it's just shocking that in this day and age, where people are saying the koala could be extinct by 2050, that the destruction of their habitat is being done by a government corporation subsidised by millions of dollars every year, tens of millions by the taxpayer, that we have to watch this destruction. And it seems that the only way we can get any attention on the issue is by being prepared to be arrested.
Yes, which leads us to the... I was really interested in the methods that have been employed by the action group, Save Bulga Forest. You have a camp and you skill share, but you also strategise.
Yes, that's right. I mean, a camp is really important to have a base, because people do come. If you have a camp, people come from around the place, all sorts. Last night, for example... there was someone from Korea who was in camp, an excellent climber who's going to participate in the Skillshare today for climbing. So, people come and they come and they have skills, or else they want to learn. And we've been able to share skills that have seen quite a few people learn tree climbing. We've had a, up until a week ago, we had, for 2 months, we had a tree sit in place that was, that so many people, were able to learn how to climb in a week, or depending on their skill level, to be able to go and do a stint protecting a patch of forest on a tree platform. Also, tree platforms, tree sits, we call them, are used as a way to hold up the logging by attaching ropes from them to logging equipment. So if the rope is untied, the platform will fall. So you have to be brave, and you have to be confident that that there are people on the ground protecting those ropes until the police arrive and no angry contractor comes along and move their machinery or tampers with the ropes. That's been a really important part of camp. But there've been skill shares in general about non-violent direct action. And, yeah, we sit around the fire and talk about, what's going to happen, what we could do next, and come up with some ideas that are sometimes crazy and get dismissed, and sometimes they manifest into something that happens on the ground.
And in the arrests, some people have been arrested, and gone to court. I was interested in a particular case where three people, you know, they locked on and they were then, you know, charged and all the rest of it. And the magistrate, it's like we're in two parallel universes. The magistrate, Alison Hawkins, took into account their good character and the fact that the offences occurred on forestry land and had not been an inconvenience to the general public. I mean, so that they didn't record a conviction. But they were also, I presume, disallowed from going there for the 90 days or whatever it was that they were given for. But it's this looking at people's defending the forest's behaviour in the context, as you would in the legal sense, in a world that is nice and tidy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Look, that was really interesting. I was one of those three people. We were a bit worried, actually, because the magistrate was the same magistrate that sentenced Violet Coco to 15 months jail. So there was sort of great consternation that there would be some heavy sentences passed down. And instead, as you've said, she said one of the questions she asked was, so this was a forestry road and, you know, it wasn't an inconvenience to the general public. And so she did take everyone's good character into account and gave us these conditional release orders, which is like a good behaviour bond, for 9 months.
Oh, 9 months, sorry. Oh.
Nine months.
Yeah. I reduced it considerably in my mind.
Yeah, that's right. That'd be good. I think this is something that is also a reality, is that, I mean, there are plenty of people in the judiciary. We're finding it in the police force. You know, we're in our dealings with the police. Most of them are quite sympathetic. You know, they're very pleasant. We have a very sort of pleasant interaction at the time of the arrest where there is no there's no aggression, and they recognise that we're doing this because of our concern for the future of what's happening to the web of life on this planet. And so, you know, that's been quite heartening too, to realise that there's quite a lot of support inside the police and inside the judiciary, and there's no sort of vindictiveness there.
Yeah, that is interesting, because that's potentially a change. I mean, we all have to breathe, you know.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, these people have children and grandchildren too, and they're really worried about climate change. We know that, you know, trees and forests play a huge role in helping to regulate the climate. Like I say, you know, they're magistrates particularly, you know, they're intelligent people. They must understand the role of climates in the water cycle. And they're all worried about animals, particularly the koala in our neck of the woods.
And just before you go, just as a matter of interest, the contractors, who are the people who are actually doing this work?
Well, the contractors, they are the most aggressive and nasty of all the people involved. They are basically, you know, the sort of the cowboy operators, I suppose, that they drive the big machines. These days, logging happens by people driving big machines. There's no one out there cutting trees with chainsaws like there used to be. It's all done with big machines. And, so they're nearly all men who are, you know, their life is sort of wrapped around their machine. You know, you check out some of their Facebook pages and they've just got photos of big machines on them. They are really angry, and I can understand their anger because they think that their jobs are threatened, And in a way, their jobs are threatened. But there are plenty of opportunities. And this is where it's so frustrating. If all of the money that was being used to subsidise the logging was being used to find ways to find these fellas alternative employment in their big machines. And I mean, like, one opportunity is that there are thousands of kilometres of roads in New South Wales that have been completely destroyed as a result of the massive floods we've had right across the state. You know, there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done by people in big machines.
you're well pointing. That's well pointed.
Yeah, that could be done. That would help communities and be useful work. You know, and that they would be able to feel better that they are doing something that is constructive instead of destructive. I think they'd find that they were happier. And it's certainly, there are a lot of other people, a lot of other animals that'd be a lot happier if they were out there doing constructive work instead of destroying the forest for a job.
Thanks for talking to us today, Susie, and good luck, eh?
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.